Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text for the meditation is the lesson just read. We see once again that St. Paul shows us how to do it. St. Paul becomes a Greek to the Greeks so that he can win the Greeks. He knows full well that the Greeks are fascinated with the games, with the athletic contests. He knows full well that the Greeks regard the athletic contests as a sacred observance. He knows that the stadium is as holy a building and as holy an edifice on the slopes, the lower slopes of the Acropolis of Corinth, as the temples which stud the Acropolis in Corinth. So he understands this, and so it is not at all surprising that St. Paul should choose a metaphor from the gymnastics, from athletic events. But it is surprising that St. Paul should choose a metaphor which has this kind of a content, and that he should give it this kind of a slant, that he should use a metaphor saying that just as an athlete wins the race and gains the victory, so we as Christians are to run in the race and gain the victory. This seems to be another St. Paul that we have learned to know, say, in Romans. In Romans, salvation is a gift. It's all given. It's something that is free. It's the finished work of Christ. We reckon that a man is justified and saved by faith without the works of the law. But here he comes along and says, you've got to get in there and you've got to fight and you've got to run and you've got to box. Now, which St. Paul is it? Or are these two not in conflict with one another? That is the question. It is, and we try to make it both. We try to see that it can indeed be, victory can be a free gift, and at the same time, victory can be something that we ourselves win, that we work at. It is these contrasts, of course, that fill the Apostle Paul. He is the one that could exalt in his gracious God. He could be assured that neither heaven nor earth nor hell could separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And then who could look upon his deadly enemies? He could look upon sin, upon death, and upon law, and be in mortal terror over these. It is this same apostle who could say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory, and then this same sentence begins with, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It is this contrast, it is this coming together which puzzles us. And so we go to St. Paul in this text and we ask him, Paul, who will win the race? And he gives us the answer. He says, first of all, the person will win the race who gets into the race. He has to be a bona fide athlete. In the Greek contests, we're told that they registered, enrolled to enter the Isthmian events about 10 months prior to the event. And they went into serious practice and training at this time, and they continued it. Then, shortly before the actual day of the event, they would have some kind of an elimination, so that only the gold winner types would be present. They had only five events. Paul mentions two of them, running and boxing here. And only one in each event would win the prize. You and I are enrolled. We're in the race. We're in the Isthmian festival, as it were. Yes, we have, all of us who have taken on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and usually through holy baptism, we're in the race for good. We're here for keeps. And we're not going to delve into whether or not we have already passed the first elimination contest, the first trials, as it were, as we left the assembly of the priests, of the spiritual priests at home, and came to the seminary. We're simply called here, and we'll leave it at that. But we're in the race, there's no doubt. But the race is something that requires a great amount of preparation and training. And this is the second requirement that the apostle sets forth. Strict training. We learn a little bit about what it was like in the physical race from the Roman philosopher Epictetus. Epictetus was banished from Rome during Nero's reign. He was a Stoic philosopher, a slave actually, a crippled slave. A very, very outstanding Stoic philosopher. He was banished to Greece, and even after Nero's death and sometime later, they invited him to come back. He liked the Greeks so well that he didn't want to come back. This Epictetus tells us that in the Discourse 3, you must live orderly. This is part of that regimen that went through. You must live kosmikos. You must set your day aside and have times for everything. You must be nourished with rough food, I suppose high fiber food they knew already then. You must abstain from sweets, confections. You must make a point of exercising at the appointed times, and whether it's hot or cold, and do not drink cold water, and above all, stay away from any wine. The Apostle Paul adopts this, as it were, and he even adds one. He adds, but practice self-control. And it's this same word which is used here and used two chapters before in 1 Corinthians 7, where this self-control applies especially to the sexual passions. Have these under control. And here it includes those, and probably is broader to include all of the appetites. All of this is necessary in the training to fight lawfully. Ben Johnson would have given his right arm today, I suppose, had he known that to fight lawfully pays on the long run. Now Paul changes from the race to the boxing match. And he adds two more pictures. One is, I beat my body black and blue. That's really, I strike myself below the eyes. I toughen up my face in this way, that I become hard and that I look hard and am frightening to my opponent. And then the most unusual one, which has been subject to so much misunderstanding, of course, in monasticism and the ascetic life, I lead my body captive. It seems that he takes his body, his soma, it's dead now, he has killed it, and he has a harness around it and a rope, and he drags it about behind him. He is the spirit, and his body is being dragged behind. That's the picture that is given. Certainly the apostle wants to point out, as the body is the object of training for the athletic contests, the body has to be the object of discipline in the Christian salvation training. The body must be killed. The devil must be led to the door. The flesh must be brought under control by the Spirit. Who will win the race? Finally, it's not only those who enter and those who are disciplined and well-trained, but those who keep their eye on the goal. There are two statements. Not to run without a clear picture of the goal. That's what the apostle says, and this has been much misunderstood, but it's obvious this is the meaning. And secondly, in the boxing match, not to beat the air, but with those brass-knuckled gloves that you put on, that they did, and those ties, and tied them up to the elbow, that you hit the adversary directly. Who will win the race? The one who reaches the goal. He'll win the race. The athlete in the Olympian or in the Isthmian festivals, he gained a crown. He gained a crown of Grecian pine, laurel Grecian pine. For the Christian, it's a crown of glory. One is corruptible, the other is incorruptible. The Christian's is always a reward of grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is nothing else than what Jesus taught his disciples again and again. You want to be my disciple? Then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Or Martin Luther caught that so beautifully. As a combatant who swerves from his course must fail of his goal, or in fighting makes false strokes and wastes his strength in the air, so is it with all who would do good works without faith, for they are altogether uncertain as to how they stand with God. Only faith, with works, which works by love, hits the foe squarely. The flesh must obey the spirit, and for this, discipline and self-crucifixion are necessary. Yes, we can exalt with the great Apostle Paul. Thanks to God, the victory is already mine. But we can also cry out with him, O wretched man that I am. And it's this that forms the essence, the very tension of our entire life. Amen. May the peace of Christ rule your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.